Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. This is a special edition as we're giving you news from Ohio State House, and there has been alarming developments in recent weeks of a moral crisis at the Ohio State House, and we're going to talk about that this hour. You don't want to go away or miss any of this program, and if you know some of your friends, you want to let them know to tune in right now on the station that you're listening to. This is News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance, and this week at the Ohio State House, we issued a statement, and I'm going to read that statement for you in the opening of our program. Addressing the moral crisis at the Ohio State House, a statement from the Ohio Christian Alliance. A moral crisis has emerged at the Ohio State House in recent weeks and requires the attention of people of goodwill to address it. The serious nature of the moral failures of some people who serve the public's trust in their capacity as public servants has cast a dark shadow over the People's House. That is why we, the undersigned, urge a call to action. Here is what is known. According to recent media reports, and it is disturbing, Senator Cliff Hite of the 1st District of the Senate recently resigned because of his inappropriate contact with female staffers at the Ohio State House. His seat is now vacant. It was then reported by the House leadership that Representative Mike Henney had been ordered to undergo sensitivity training 2.5 years ago due to inappropriate remarks. The House has stated they will release the documents in relation to the incident, but have yet to do so. Then came the news of Ohio Senate Democrat Chief of Staff Mike Primo's sudden resignation, about which no details were provided by Democratic Senate leadership. Senate President Larry Obaugh has requested to speak with the woman who filed the complaint against Primo. Then comes the shocking and disturbing report to date about Representative Wes Goodman of the 87th Ohio House District, who resigned on November 14th. It was reported in the Columbus Dispatch on November 15th that Goodman had engaged in inappropriate contact with another man in a consensual situation in his office. According to the Dispatch, Goodman confirmed the allegations when confronted with the evidence by Speaker Rosenberger. As to what the nature of that evidence is, only the Speaker and his staff know. They have not released the information to the public. House leadership provided a statement, but it did not provide the documents or the details. Then came more substantive reports from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the Washington Post, in an article titled, 30 Sources Expose Sexually Explicit Evidence of Harassment by Ohio GOP Rep. Wes Goodman. From the Independent Journal Review, these reports portray a more disturbing and alarming pattern of moral misconduct and sexual harassment behavior by Mr. Goodman. Therefore, we are calling for the Legislative Inspector General to obtain all records from House and Senate leadership pertaining to these incidents. In addition, if any registered lobbyist was involved with the reported inappropriate behavior, that person should lose their lobbying privileges and be restricted from the Rife Center. We are also calling on Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine to investigate, in partnership with local law enforcement, whether any crimes may have been committed. It is important to support the good men and women who serve us in public office day in and day out, and not let these bad examples reflect poorly on those who serve the people of their districts faithfully and with good character. These actions are also being called for on behalf of the young people who work in state government as pages, legislative aides, and interns. They need to know that the adults that are serving the public trust do so with the utmost highest standards. It is important for these young people to feel confident and not threatened in the environment as they work in state government. We will be watching carefully to see that the Legislative Inspector General and the Attorney General follow up on our request today. It is our sincere hope that this matter can be thoroughly investigated and brought to a conclusion, and that by these actions, the public's trust can be regained. We, the undersigned, dutifully call for our public officials to serve the people of this great state with integrity and transparency. Signed by myself, Christopher Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance, also signed by Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, Bob Burney, President of Cross Power Ministries, Phil Fulton of Union Hill Church, Linda Harvey of Mission America, Dr. Kenneth Johnson, Pastor Seaman Community Methodist Church, Reverend James Tasker. Others wanted to sign the letter and will be signing future correspondence, but we needed to get this issued on Tuesday. Well, it was reported in the Columbus Dispatch what the letter we just read to you, and calls for action were responded to by the Attorney General of Ohio. Mike DeWine did call our offices, and we had a conversation with him, and also Mr. Bledsoe of the Legislative Inspector General called. And we're going to talk about that this hour with our good friend and OCA board member, Pastor Al, who is no stranger here to the studios of in Salem. And his program airs every Friday at 1:30. And then Sunday evenings at 11 p.m.
Correct.
Well, Pastor Al, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Chris, and it's good to be on. Wish we had a better subject to talk about today, but thank you for allowing me to be here.
Well, thank you for joining me, my brother. This is obviously disturbing developments at the People's House, but one in which, as we contemplated what we should do, it needed action. There's times when you see something that you know that needs to be done, and you just need to do it. You need to take the courage and move forward. You know, as it said, sometimes you look around and you're the only adult left in the room, and it's time to really take a stand. And this needed action, and so we acted. Your thoughts?
Well, yes, Chris, because you know when we look at our elected officials, we would hope that they hold to a higher code of conduct than what we might expect from some others because of the position of trust that they're in. It reminds me, and I won't read through the whole thing, but just in reference in Exodus chapter 18, when Moses was given a recommendation by his father-in-law, the type of people to select to oversee and to help govern over people, he was asked to select people who were able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. And, you know, when we look at public office today, it ought to be the same sort of standards. We ought to have people who have not only the competence to serve, but they ought to be people of moral integrity, people that we can entrust. Well, it's what it is. It's a public trust, isn't it? We ought to be able to entrust the public business to these people. They should be people held to a higher standard.
Well, that's right. And then we think about the young people that serve us at state office and their pages, their legislative aides. They work in Legislative Services Commission right out of college. So these are very young people that are getting their first impression and experience in state government. Some of them will go on to actually run for office back in their districts. And, if you talk to some of those who are currently serving us at some pretty high levels of government, they started in some of these initial stages of government. We want these young people to know that it's a safe working environment, that they're down there helping their representatives do the people's business. And these bad examples who one individual, it looked as if and reports are, is almost a predatory nature
right.
of his activity. And that's why we're called for an investigation. You know, the House Speaker, you know, he is... we don't really know. There comes a point where we waited and we waited, and Senate President Ovalle seems to have been very quick to respond. In fact, very transparent with record. Senator Cliff Height, who resigned, those records were made available to the public. The Senate Democrats, their minority leader, chief of staff, resigned suddenly. The details are still not known. There's a woman in question who filed the complaint, and she's not even, Mr. Oboff isn't even aware as to who she is to talk with her as to what the details of the incident was. So we don't know what the severity of that is. So this is not a partisan issue. This is both sides of the aisle. Bad, actors on both sides of the aisle here. So we're really just wanting to get to the bottom of it to clean this thing up, clean up the House, and so the people, they can get back to work. And there's one, the majority of them are wonderful, decent, hardworking folks who go to the State House and represent their districts day in and day out, go home to their families, and serve the public's trust. it's unfortunate that this has occurred, and you know, and what is basically spreading the nation right now with revelations has obviously come home to roost and is being dealt with at the Ohio State House.
Absolutely. And I like what you said about the pages and the interns and things that are working there. And for, like you said, many of them, this is their first taste of government and understanding how government works. And these are going to be our future leaders. As you said, many people who are leading today started in this fashion. And those who are currently serving in public office, and not only are they entrusted with the public business of our state, of our nation, but they're also entrusted with the future of our nation in terms of providing a safe working environment for these young people, college and I think even some high school students get down there, don't they?
They do.
Yeah, and they need to provide a safe working environment which will help good men and women who are coming up from the younger generation to see that you can serve in state government, national government, and that you can serve safely, honorably, and achieve the nation's, the state's business.
Well, that's right, and that they know that policing authorities and this checks and balance system that we have in this representative republic, there are going to be people that act and do their jobs. You know, I'm one that's convinced that, you know, I know some people are very cynical about authority, but, you know, quite honestly, as a Christian, we believe in submission to authority. Does that mean that there's no corruption in authority? Of course, there are times when there is corruption in authority. But God seems to root that out. And if we'll pray, and the Bible says to pray. You know, we see in the life of Paul, when he moved from town to town, region to region, he would run into various levels of authority and how they responded to him. At times, he invoked his Roman citizenship. At one time, he didn't get a chance to, and they beat him and his companion mercilessly, and then later found out that he was a Roman citizen, that he had rights and privileges with that citizenship, and that jailer feared for his own life because by convicting or punishing Paul without a proper due process and conviction came with a hefty penalty, that's for sure. So certainly we believe in due process. But these are the reports that have the papers on record. And I do believe that the media itself, and I know we complain a lot about the liberal media, that's for sure. But there, I believe also that the media and the press actually have a role to play. And I've seen that over the years when it's done properly. They are sources of record. And they do, you know, a good journalist that does their due diligence and works hard, they deserve their due. And that's regardless whether they're liberal or conservative. And I've dealt with a lot of the media that actually they have a personal liberal bent. But at times they've been very fair in presenting the news as it is, as the issues that we as an organization have dealt with over the years. And this is one of those times. The Columbus Dispatch, for instance, they simply in their first edition just simply reposted our entire statement because they know when the Ohio Christian Alliance speaks, if we're speaking to an issue, they know that we mean business, that we didn't just come by this by chance or from just off the handle, but that we prayerfully, thoughtfully, with much counsel, thought about our statement. And so, and those who read it, and again, we would encourage you, it will be up on our website later when you're hearing this broadcast. We'll also have some letters of correspondence for open record's sake that we sent to the Attorney General, the Inspector, Legislative Inspector General, and then the Attorney General. And then let's get into the details, Pastor, as to how this investigation might take place. Certainly, we're not investigating. We were calling for a more thorough investigation and transparency with records being presented so that the public will know that it has been fully disclosed and that all that can be done is being done. Your thoughts?
You're absolutely right, Chris, because, you know, think of it, the mission of the Ohio Christian Alliance, not only a voice for Christians, for pastors and churches across the state, but the average pastor does not know all the details of what's going down are going on down in Columbus. And they have their hands full with their church, with their people that they're working with. A pastor's job is pretty full, and they're looking to organizations that they can trust that are able to give them the kind of information they need, because their people are going to be asking questions. I mean, our church, people have been asking questions about this, wanting to know what's going on and wanting to know what we as Christians should do. And when you see the Ohio Christian Alliance bringing this to the public's attention and making these straightforward common sense requests that these be investigated and brought out into the open, I think it's a help in two ways. One, it's a help to our state to bring these things out so that we can process that and begin the process of healing in our state government. But also, it's important for our churches, for pastors and church members here across our state to know what's going on so that we can know that our state government is taking steps to try to correct these egregious actions that have been uncovered.
Well, that's right, and we always encourage people to be involved in the process. The last thing we want is for people to say, oh, you know, they're just all corrupt. I'm just going to sit this election out. That's the last thing we want our folks to do. We want them to stay engaged, interview and to discuss with those who are running for office, to address their concerns with them, to vet them, as it were, to what kind of individual and what kind of character. Certainly, obviously, you know, you get to know somebody and you have a good feel for them. And then, you know, most of the time you're right. But there are times when mistakes are made, and that was done here. This individual in question, this Mr. Goodman, Wes Goodman, and I just encourage people to Google his name and the articles will come up, which is basically the Columbus Dispatch, the Cleveland newspaper, Plain Dealer, and of course the Washington Post article, along with an article, 30 Sources. That was not one I think young people should read, but adults only, because it's explicit in nature. But, you know, that was the one that just caused my blood to boil when I read it, and I thought, okay, enough is enough. This is obviously predatory nature, and there needs to be a thorough investigation. And that was the belief of our board and much counsel by pastors and folks that I impact, in fact, people in government that said, Chris, you must do this. So again, it wasn't a thing about Republican versus Democrat, any partisan thing. It was more about doing the right thing. And that's what we need to do. The Bible says that we're to be salt of the earth. We're to be light of the world. We're to follow Christ's example. And doing that is shining a light in dark places at times so that others won't fear, and that some will fear when they see the light coming, because darkness shuns the light. But that's what we're to do, is to shine a light, and at times at the State House. And there are times that we have great victory and we rejoice, and there's things, believe me, that I would rather be doing. You ever actually have one of those unpleasant tasks, Pastor, that you know that you have to do and you try to talk yourself out of it?
On occasion, yes.
That's what this was about. This was one of those unpleasant tasks where I knew there wasn't much upside, except for I kept thinking about those young people that were service at the Ohio State House, and I said, well, for goodness sake, for them, I must do this, and we must do this. And I was so glad I was not standing alone, but the very fine people that joined us in signing this letter and others who have talked to me since and said, we want to join with you as well. Well, obviously, the Bible says one sinner destroyeth much good. So we want to get to the bottom of this and move on, and obviously move on. And of course, we pray for this person as well, that they would seek redemption and that their life would come back together. But sometimes, you know, things have to discover whether laws were broken. We don't know. We're not alleging that. We're not insisting that or inferring that. But that's for the authorities to decide, whether minors were involved, and whether any crime took place. So with that, let's talk about that, for instance, because we did receive, once we put out our statement, response from the Attorney General on the same day, within hours, actually. And Mike DeWine himself called our offices, and I spoke with him personally. He read the communique, and he understood it. He then explained that he was not the policing authority in this instance, but it was the State Highway Patrol and also the Inspector General, not the Legislative Inspector General. Yes, of course, they have their role to play, but the Inspector General. And we're going to write a letter to both the State Highway Patrol and the Inspector General. And then I just received assurances from the Attorney General that he would be following up with them as well, that they were taking this request seriously. So that's good news. That's what we were looking for, was that kind. Now, again, if there's nothing more there, hey, we're good. You know, but and then the public will have some confidence. If there is, unfortunately, more there, then it will be determined. On the other side was Mr. Bledsoe, who is the legislative inspector general. Now, anyone who is an office holder, anyone who is a lobbying agent, who is registered lobbyist at the State House, it does it professionally. Obviously, every citizen can come and speak before the committees within the proper protocol and give their thoughts on any legislation that's pending, either written or an oral testimony before the committees. But anyone who's a registered professional lobbyist, they have to report quarterly to what's called the Joint Legislative Services Commission. And so I do that as a lobbyist with the Ohio Christian Alliance, representing the Alliance's interests in pro-life, pro-family causes. So Mr. Bledsoe said that he was in the process. He is an attorney collecting inner records. And I, you know, he said, I've read your statement. And I said, Chris, I can tell you that if I saw anything that even hinted at criminality, I would call law enforcement immediately and turn it over. I said, well, that's good to know. So obviously, he can't divulge what records he has or what he's collecting, but he has been collecting the records, statements, and materiel pertaining to these inappropriate actions of some members of the Ohio legislature. Again, not widespread, but it's a crisis if you're not dealing with it. It's a moral crisis if you're not dealing with it. That's why we want to make sure that due process is happening and it's being handled. Pastor Al.
Absolutely right. And again, as a pastor, I'm thinking, listening to what you're saying, and I feel encouraged that our state officials are responding, that they are saying, we are looking into this, that we are trying to get to the bottom to determine what's going on. And obviously, it's not your responsibility, it's not my responsibility to establish criminality here.
Right.
But it is our responsibility, and every Christian that's listening, it's our responsibility, obviously, to pray for those in public service. We need to pray, but we also need to raise that voice of moral clarity. You know, we in the faith community, that's our responsibility. You know, we're to lift up and glorify our Savior. And one of the ways we do that, like you said, being salt and light in the world around us. Salt has a preserving effect, and it also enhances the flavor of food. We have an enhancing effect in the society. And of course, light dispels darkness. And as you said, you know, the wickedness loves darkness. And it's our responsibility to raise that moral voice and be a voice of clarity on this issue. And I appreciate the information that you've just shared.
Well, thank you, Pastor. And you know, and I'm very happy that the response of these officials at the State House, and again, regardless of party affiliation, to have this kind of due process and taking these this seriously to investigate it properly. Well, again, if you've missed any of this first part of our program, you want to log on to our website at ohioca.org. Just Google Ohio Christian Alliance. If you want to know the statement that's out there that's in the Columbus Dispatch, just Google Ohio Christian Alliance Moral Crisis at the State House, and it will come up. But we'll also have the documentations on our website later. And stay with us if you're able to. On the other side, we're going to have our pastor's roundtable to discuss this further of what's been happening on the national level and how this is an opportunity for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who are lost. You're listening to News in Focus. Stand by. We'll be right back. God bless.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do, TrustBlueReview.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. TrustBlueReview.
Okay, and thank you for joining us. We're going to continue our discussion about the national moral crisis that's breaking left and right every day in the media. And of course, this morning, people woke up to a very breaking story of those who watch NBC News.
Matt Lauer obviously has been a staple. He was considered just the best broadcast, I mean, one of the best broadcasters of our time. Here is what his co-host, Savannah Guthrie, opened their show with this morning.
We just learned this moments ago, just this morning. As I'm sure you can imagine, we are devastated and we are still processing all of this. And I will tell you right now, we do not know more than what I just shared with you. But we will be covering this story as reporters, as journalists. I'm sure we will be learning more details in the hours and days to come. And we promise we will share that with you. Mm-hmm. And Hoda, I mean, you know, for the moment, all we can say is that we are heartbroken. I'm heartbroken for Matt. He is my dear, dear friend and my partner, and he is beloved by many, many people here. And I'm heartbroken for the brave colleague who came forward to tell her story and any other women who have their own stories to tell. Mm-hmm. And we are grappling with a dilemma that so many people have faced these past few weeks. How do you reconcile your love for someone with the revelation that they have behaved badly? Mm-hmm. And I don't know the answer to that. But I do know that this reckoning that so many organizations have been going through is important. It's long overdue. And it must result in workplaces where all women, all people mm-hmm. feel safe and respected.
Well, there is another revelation this morning. Matt Lauer, who was co-host of the Today on NBC, was summarily fired from his position over allegations of sexual harassment. You're listening to News in Focus, a program of the Ohio Christian Alliance. With me in studio is Pastor Al Davis, who is a board member. And with us on the phone is our good friend, Pastor Phil Fulton, all the way down in Southern Ohio. Pastor, welcome.
Thank you, Brother Chris. I'm very happy to be on the program with you today.
Well, thank you, Pastor. We just wrapped up our first part talking about the Statehouse crisis. We're going to turn a corner now in our Pastor's Roundtable, and thank you for joining us to talk about what's happening on the national level. And, of course, this breaking news with Matt Lauer of NBC News, basically with not much details, but we understand that this investigation was going on for some weeks, and there's more to come. So it became a big national story. Your thoughts?
I was shocked when I heard the news this morning and I got up. You know, when you watch the news and you watch really a lot of folks that you have confidence in and you tend to respect somewhat, you begin to think they're living a good life, they're living the way they should, their morals is what they should, but then it's a total letdown, I think, to everyone who watches the program. And nationwide, it's just a total moral failure by many, many people, and it come to my mind as soon as I heard it. The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. So regardless of what we do behind closed doors or wherever we might be, eventually these things are going to come to the forefront, and we're going to pay the price for it.
Well, that's right. The Bible says anything that's hidden shall be revealed. And there is a pulling back of the curtain right now, whether it's Harvey Weinstein, whether it's Bill Cosby in recent years, and of course, a whole slew of people. The Washington Post reporter who was the New York Times reporter at the White House has been dismissed. I just heard breaking this afternoon that Garrison Keillor was summarily fired from the radio station which he worked over an issue. So Prairie Home Companion, I guess, is no more with Garrison Keillor being fired. Pastor Al, your thoughts?
Absolutely, Chris. I heard that as well this afternoon. And, you know, it's the atmosphere that we're in. It's hard to say exactly what God is doing, but it does seem like you said he is peeling back the curtain, helping us to see what's going on. And I think we're faced as a choice. We can encourage people to look to the Lord, because what we're seeing in this behavior, all these people, whatever the party is, whatever the profession is, we're seeing the sin nature of man on display. And we need an awakening, not just of a political nature in this country, but we need a spiritual awakening in this country. We need a new spiritual awakening, a new sense of revival to sweep this country. And this could be something God is using to stir the hearts, to get people to look into the fact that we need something more than just laws to restrain man's sin nature. We need a Savior, don't we?
We do indeed. I'm reading from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. I think, Pastor Phil, you referenced this. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Well, you know, the Bible says, and God requireth that which is past. And that's a verse that has just leaped off the page at me, you know, in the last year or so. And actually, there's an article that's brewing in me that I need to write this article, because we've come in a day and age, pastors, you know, that it's more of the grace gospel that we've heard in recent years, you know, not about repentance, preaching the gospel that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there's none righteous, no, not one. And that would, you know, repentance leads us to redemption. But you don't hear that today in today's gospel. You hear about even preachers saying, well, you've made a mistake. Well, I'm sorry, it's not a mistake. It's like one old preacher used to say, my wickedness. You don't hear anybody claiming wickedness. But the fact of the matter is, outside of Christ, your sinful life is wicked. Mm-hmm. And so, he said, I practice wickedness. And I'm like, wow, that's an austere type analogy or expression, but it's one in which is more accurate according to the Bible. Pastor Phil, your thoughts?
Well, that's so true in the day and the hour we live in. And I was thinking of when you was reading out of Galatians, Jesus to the disciples, and he wasn't addressing sexual issues, but he said in Matthew 26:41, I believe, watch and pray lest you enter or fall into temptation. And I think we have forgotten the fact that we are all subject to temptation. And when our thought life gets to a certain point, it's no more thoughts, then we begin to take action. And we must stay on our knees. We must be watchful. And as pastors, we must think more about preaching the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and repentance and judgment for sin rather than the social gospel. And I think the church has got away from that. It is the sin nature that drives man. And in the United States today, we know church attendance has fallen dramatically. The social atmosphere and the agenda today that churches, major denominations, the social atmosphere there and actually the atmosphere that they have today is all about make me feel good. It's the blessings instead of really getting down to what Jesus taught. You know, except you repent, we are going to perish. And we do, and I agree with the other pastor, that we must have a national revival in this country to see a turnaround.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, Jesus preached repentance everywhere he went. He didn't say, oh, you're all lovely here. I just love you all. Mm-hmm. He spent most of his time preaching about hell and mm-hmm. warning those his listeners about hell.
Yeah.
And at the same time, showing great compassion to the sinners and great mercy. And there was something about the interaction with Jesus. One, they were cognizantly aware of their wickedness and their sin, like Mary Magdalene, the prostitute. Yes. And she basically left all of that lifestyle, and he said, go and sin no more. Because he can clean you up when no one else can. When you're thrown out by the world and there's nothing left, Then Jesus.
Amen.
And so, brothers, I'm sure as you're watching what's happening in the news today, you open up the paper and say, I just preached about that last week. Mm-hmm. So it's like, finally, we're seeing in culture what basically is what you preach about, and in real time, you're opening up the paper, and it's already got your sermon in, Pastor Al.
You're absolutely right, Chris. Yeah. And when you look at what's happening, I mean, I don't want people to think that we expect people to be perfect. God certainly doesn't expect people to be perfect. He knows our frame. I heard one guy say he knows we're nothing but walking, talking mud balls one time. But God knows that we still have that sin nature, and that's why he gave us instructions. I was looking at Ephesians where Paul wrote that you put off in Ephesians chapter 4 that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is creating righteousness and true holiness. He said, this is something we need to work to do. And I think it's our responsibility as pastors to instill that in people in our churches, that when we see people failing, moral failures amongst people in high places, whether it's public office or the entertainment or media worlds or even in the ministry, we see that happening all too often, that it's a reminder that we're still struggling with that sin nature, and we need to make a daily commitment to crucify the old self and put on that new man, which after God is creating righteousness and true holiness. Then he goes on to talk about stopping doing the sinful things that we used to do, knowing who we serve. It's an effort. We have to work at this. It doesn't come easily because the world, the flesh, and the devil fight us every step of the way.
Reading from Ecclesiastes 3:15, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. You know, it was Mark Twain, Pastor Phil, that said, some people are bothered by the things which they read in the Bible and they don't understand. He said, I, for one, am bothered by the things which I read in the Bible and I do understand. And there's things, you know, that are, you know, David said, my sins are ever before me.
Yeah.
If anyone's ever watched the Patriot movie, at the beginning it has that commentary, I have long feared that my sins would revisit me, and I feared that. And, you know, there's something about that. And so what's happening with people today is, they say, well, what is the statute of limitations? Well, from the time that you're of conscious nature to know that you're sinning and that you're walking in disobedience and wickedness, that is the statute of limitations with the Lord. That's why we need a Savior, isn't it, Pastor Phil?
Absolutely. Without the Savior. And I was thinking, St. Augustine said one time, the whole world, says he, is one great diseased man lying extended from east to west and from north to south. And to heal this great sick man, the Almighty Physician descended from heaven. And when I think of that, I think of the world that we live in today. And it seems like the sexual revolution, ever since it hit, it has got persistently worse day by day by day, to which about anything goes now. and Hollywood, and regretfully, politicians, those who are in power, think they can do about anything they want. And the only thing that's going to change that is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world,
Amen.
Who came to save us from our sins. And I'll be the first to admit, I don't live in a glass house, so I don't want to throw stones. But I also know that through the Spirit of God and by the grace of God, we can live a life that we don't have to fall into the transgressions like so many have fallen into. And I thank God every day for His mercy and for His grace.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, I'm reading from Isaiah 55. This jumped out at me this afternoon in my reading. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that know not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Now in verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Pastor Al.
You're absolutely right. God will abundantly pardon. And that's, you know, the beauty of the gospel message, isn't it? God knows we have that sin nature. He knows that we're flawed. He knows that we fail. And he also knows that we cannot live a perfect life. There's only one person that lived a perfect life. That was Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And the beauty of the gospel is when we're willing to confess our sin and believe that Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin, then the Bible says we can have something. It's called forgiveness. Mm. And that's the mercy that comes by putting our faith in Christ. But, you know, sometimes we as Christians almost become guilty of saying, well, once you're forgiven, you just do whatever you want. But the Bible is filled with admonitions to abstain from evil, to be conformed to the image of Christ, to live a godly lifestyle, to turn from our wicked ways, and to be an example to those around us. And God's mercy is there, and it's very, very real, and it's available to all who will turn. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, we can have the forgiveness of sin, and we can experience His mercy. But, you know, God does expect us to live a godly lifestyle, and we need to model that in our churches and in our communities. And we need to pray for our elected officials. We need to pray for those that are embroiled in these allegations, that they'll come to their repentance and trust Christ as their Savior as well.
What is so needed is conviction. You know, conviction's a good thing. You know, we've seen in recent years where some in theology have tried to wipe away what they would say, well, those are unpleasant words of sinner, repentance, wickedness, evil. You know, we don't talk about that. You know, we talk more about grace here, and that God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. Indeed, He does have a wonderful plan for your life. But unless you get to the cross and understand that you are wicked, that you are filthy, that in yourself there is no good thing, that a man or woman has to come to the end of themselves. So conviction is actually a good thing. You realize, I need help. Then you're in a good place. You're in a place to get help. But what we see today, Pastor Phil, we see people taking pharmaceutical drugs to squelch any kind of conviction, any kind of depression or bad feeling. We also see people in the heroin opiate addiction, just so as long as I can get through the day. What's so sad about that is that God is actually speaking to these people. They'll say, well, my life is terrible. Well, life is hard. But if you have, it's your conscience that's bothering you. and to actually be able to feel and to experience that remorse and that conviction, and then to be able to take that to Christ, then you can experience the glory and the mercy and the joy that only He can give. Mm-hmm. Peace, He says, I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Pastor Phil.
Yes, I so agree with that, and I'm going back to the word of conviction. Without conviction, we don't even recognize or realize that we're in sin. Without the preaching of the gospel, we don't realize we're in sin. And the world today has got so far away from the Word of God, and so many children are not in church today. They never attended Sunday school. They have no idea who Jesus is. The generation that's growing up today, all they know is sin, and they have no idea that there is a Savior who loves them and cares for them. And, you know, in 1 Peter 3, 11 and 12, talking about the men said, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And except from the pulpit and by evangelizing out in the open square and telling people not only about the love of Jesus Christ, but also there is a judgment and there is a price to pay for sin. And we're seeing that across, you know, in the national level and the local level as well. When people are caught up in sin, then when the hammer falls, there's a big price to pay for that. But thank God we've got a Savior that will forgive. But there's still a cost. Like David, he was forgiven. But look at the cost of his sin.
Well, you know, there's a movie called Amazing Grace, and there's a visit by John Newton, who is older in the movie, and he has all but lost his eyesight. He is, of course, the author of Amazing Grace, the song we love to sing. And he is mopping in the church, and he is talking, and he's saying, when I was a slave trader, and the things we did, the wickedness that we did, he said, they were the beautiful people. We treated them like animals. We were the animals he was talking about.
Oh, yes.
And then he said, they're all with me here. He's alone in this hallway in the church, but he said, they're with me. All of them are here. I mean, he talked a little bit of a haunting. This is a man who wrote the song Amazing Grace. He was a Christian man, wonderful man. And at times people say, well, you know, I'm haunted by my past. Yeah, but you know where to take those hauntings to. You know, everybody experiences a little bit of that. But the point of it is that you know where to take that. Now, obviously, the Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and he brings up old indictments, as they were, and old accusations. And Christ says, I took care of that. So you don't want to insult the Lord because he said, it is finished. It is complete. You don't have to re-sacrifice Jesus every time and every day for your sin. He died once for your sin. All you need to do is accept it, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to us today. And you're saying, what do I do with my guilt? What do I do with my conviction? Pastor Al.
I think you're right. And conviction is a very important thing. You know, there's a great book that came out of the 1600s, and I'm not talking about the King James Bible here at this point, but Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. And the main character starts out with a heavy sack on his back that represents the guilt that he felt, his conviction for sin, which led him on a journey that led him to the cross where he encountered Christ. And it's my prayer that people listening that may have not accepted Christ as their Savior, that they would come under conviction for their sin. And, of course, that does go in the face of all of the feel-goodism. I want people to come under conviction, and maybe these events that are taking place in our newspapers and such today will bring people under conviction. It'll make us think, you know, I've done similar things or worse things, and that conviction will lead to a godly repentance that'll bring us to the cross where we'll realize that even the Apostle Paul, who said, I was the chiefest of sinners, He still found forgiveness in Christ. The thief that was condemned to die, hanging next to Christ, said, "Lord, forgive me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And God had mercy on him.
Hmm. There are people who are listening to this program today, and they're saying, "I need the Lord Jesus." Pastor Al, would you lead us in a word of prayer for those people that they would accept Christ?
Well, certainly, Chris. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you today, we just think of the moral crisis that our country seems to be going through. But each of us on an individual basis, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll know that we're not perfect. We surely don't measure up to your absolute holiness. We've all sinned and come short of your glory. That's our nature. We don't become sinners because we did bad things. We do bad things because we are sinners. We need a change in our nature. Lord, you said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If there's those that are struggling, those that are looking for answers, help them to realize that Jesus Christ came into this world. We're going to celebrate that in just a few weeks, the birth of Christ. And he did what we can't do. He lived a perfect life, absolutely holy, absolutely without sin. And then he went to the cross where he shed his blood and gave his life as a sacrifice for our sins, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, shall be saved. Lord, help them to come to that saving knowledge of Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Al. If you're listening and you prayed that prayer, call our phone line 330-887-1922, and we'll get you connected with a local church. God bless you. Pastor Phil, Pastor Al, thanks so much for joining me today on the Pastor's Roundtable. God bless you, my friends. I appreciate your support. Thanks so much for listening today.
Thank you, Brother Chris. God bless.
Thanks, Chris. God bless.
Thank you. And if you missed any of today's program, you can catch it on our website at ohioca.org. God bless. We'll see you next week.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.